Good Sabbath, everyone. Again. Today, I thought I would go back and visit what we'd had on our minds. Today, I didn't title this sermon. If you would turn to Revelation chapter 19, begin in verse 17. Revelation 19 and verse 17. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat of the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. So here's a prophecy of Jesus the Christ returning with an army of saints to defeat the beast, the false prophet, and all the armies of the world. And this includes the powerful soon coming European juggernaut that many believe to be the 10-nation EU led by Germany. The Brexit vote in the UK, United Kingdom, mostly passed by the British, has refocused our minds upon this prophecy. So I revisited this, and I'm not going into too much about the prophecy that the worldwide taught for many decades, but I'm just going to go through some scriptures I think relates to us here today. Turn back to Revelation 17, and let's read verses 12 and 13. 17, 12 and 13. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. So it says here that we have ten horns, ten kings, without a kingdom. Until they are given authority for 1 hour, 3.5 years. And utterly defeated by Jesus, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, as we just read. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7. You can place your marker in Revelation and place one here in Daniel, because we're going to read a few verses in each. Let's begin in Daniel 7 in verses 23 through 25. Daniel 7, 23 through 25. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from the kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and he shall subdue three kings. Verse 25, and he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. So here we have the fourth beast. That's the final kingdom. Shall take over the entire earth. And the ten kings that come will come out of this worldwide kingdom. And notice in verse 25 it says, time, times, and half time, 3.5 years, the 1 hour period. I'll get to that in a minute and show you that. But let's go back to Daniel chapter 2. And I'm breaking into, actually what I'm reading is kind of the explanation Daniel was given for these prophecies. I'm just breaking in and reading a little excerpt and to try to fit it into a certain time period here. Daniel 2, and we'll begin in verse 40. Daniel 2 and verse 40. Notice again it says, and the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. The very same thing we read in Daniel chapter 7. Verse 41. Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. Now I'm reading from New King James. And some might have that translated brittle or breakable, like glass, the ceramic part. Verse 43, and you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay. They will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So we have the fourth kingdom here again, the last worldly kingdom with 10 toes, and it has been put forth that the two legs here are the East Europe and West Europe. So half of the king will be 5 or more nations from Western Europe and 5 or more nations from Eastern Europe. There is no word in the scriptures, either in Daniel or in Revelation, stating that these are nations, individual nations. But even the Worldwide Church of God, if you read their literature carefully, never really claimed that. They claimed it could be regions or multiples of nations like the Benelux nations and stuff like that. Even though they always said 10 nations to represent these 10 horns or 10 toes. But there's no word that states these are nations, singular. So the 10 horns, the 10 toes, may be multiple regions of nations. Our map of nations in Europe today look much different than they did in Daniel's time, or even in John's time when he wrote Revelation in the first century there. The map of Europe, the borders of the countries are different. The countries are different. Some countries didn't exist. So these scriptures were the foundation for prophecy buffs, beginning in the Worldwide Church of God, about the 10-member European superpower with Germany in the lead. And it's still taught in most of the splinter groups that came out of that. This is still taught. And I am not disputing that it will not come to be. In fact, I probably believe there is going to be a superpower European group headed by the beast, but that's almost in effect now. Europe economically is a superpower already. They're one of the big trading blocks in the entire world right now. And it was believed that the UK, which just had the Brexit vote, would not join this this 10-member group or be thrown out because they are Ephraim, one of the 10 tribes. But that brings me to have questions about the other countries. What about France? The Worldwide Church of God taught that France is Reuben. And even France, since the Brexit vote, has been mumbling about this, even though France and Germany and the Netherlands were the founding groups of the EU. Other nations are waiting to see how this affects Great Britain. And stock markets are not a good indicator. A lot of people look at the stock markets, how they crashed the next two or three days after this vote, but stock markets are confidence games. They are based upon perception, not upon actual goods and trade. Trade agreements and global companies staying in the UK is the real indicator, and actually how the banks stay in the UK. Other nations, such as Italy, actually Italy has their vote in October, whether they will stay in the EU, Italy. And you have Sweden and Denmark and Finland all talking about they could exit the EU. Well, there are 20-something countries aligned now in the EU. Actually, I think the last count I actually have like 28 countries in the European Union. So more than half of these could exit and still have 10 kingdoms or 10 regions of them. But we read that this fourth beast or kingdom will crush the entire earth, and these 10 will come out of that fourth kingdom. And I'd like for you to notice what we just read in Daniel. The last verse is that we know this is the very end time, because it says while these kings are ruling this earth is when Christ will return and defeat all of them. So we know the time frame this occurs in. And it says they have power for 1 hour with the beast, these 10 nations do. We read that in Revelation 17, verses 12 and 13. So how long is 1 hour? Let's go back to Revelation chapter 3. Let's see if we can figure out how long 1 hour is. Revelation 3 and verse 10. This is to the faithful church, the church at Philadelphia. It says, because you have kept my command to persevere, or you've had the word of my patience, it might say in some translations, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. It's a promise to the church at Philadelphia to keep them during this trial that will be 1 hour. It says this tribulation period will be 1 hour on the face of the earth. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 12. Read verse 14. Revelation 12:14. But the woman, this picture's a church here, was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the presence of the serpent. So the woman, the saints, the church, flown into the wilderness for a time, that's one, times is two and a half time. So we have 3.5 years here. Turn back a page to chapter 11 and verse 3, Revelation 11, verse 3. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. So here we have the same length of time, two witnesses prophesying for 1,260 days, 3.5 years, and that would equal 1 hour. And I think that's amazing that God places his two witnesses here on earth to be seen by everyone on earth to preach to him for what he considers 1 hour. All right, let's go back to Daniel chapter 7. reread 23 through 25. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms. That's an interesting thing to ponder upon. And shall devour the whole earth, trample it, break it in pieces. 10 horns or 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be different from the first, and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High. Now, think about this in context of what we just read, that God will protect the saints of the Most High. And shall intend to change the times and law, then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. Just the opposite of what we just read. This fourth kingdom is different than all other kingdoms. This describes one global government. This is exactly what the leaders of the world want. And they don't back up to say this. I mean, even our leaders, they're globalists, and they do not back up to say this. The elitists that God has allowed to lead the nations of this world are globalists. In essence, England's middle class voted for sovereignty, for not being a nation ruled by European elitists. This was all political, and it had a short-term effect on the financial markets of the world. What if in the future it is a financial decision or a military takeover? Think about that. Daniel says the whole earth will be crushed under this fourth kingdom. Let's turn back to Revelation and read a couple verses here. I was just going to give them to you, but let's read them. Revelation 13:7. Revelation 13:7, and it was granted to him to make war with the saints to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Now go over to chapter 18 and verse 24. Chapter 18, verse 24. It says, and in her, speaking of this great Mystery Babylon religion, powered by the beast, that in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. This is the ones killed in the tribulation, which we could go back to that 1 hour, that 3.5 hour period that we were talking about. So, how close are we to this fourth kingdom here? Well, November 27th, 2015 would be the correct date. I don't have it written down here. About 7 months ago, Maurice Strong died. You may have never heard of Maurice Strong. He was born in 1929 in Canada. Very poor. He became rich when he started into the oil fields in Canada. He became rich enough that he finally met David Rockefeller, and he moved in circles. Him and Rockefeller kind of hit it off, and he moved in circles of the rich elite of the world. He's affected every one of our lives through the green agenda and global warming. He's actually the real Al Gore. He's the one who wrote everything down Al Gore believes, if you want to put it that way. In the early 70s, Strong was speaking out and pushing for environmental control and population reduction of the world. Not just here, but worldwide he was doing this. He traveled in the entire globe. Well, this eliminates any conversation of God. The earth and nature's God and the intellectuals will preserve it by population control and environmental control. In 1992, a commission on global governance was formed by the United Nations to devise a system of future global management. Maurice Strong, who was actually the second in command on this, was the lead author of this future one world government. They put out a paper on 1992, and this commission was the Commission on Global Governance. The report was entitled Our Global Neighborhood, very important, in 1992. Let me read you a few of the lines from this that was to be their directive for beginning a one world government. They call it global governance. Let me read, this is quote, "It is time to begin thinking about self-determination in a new context. The emerging context of a global neighborhood rather than the traditional context of a world of separate states. The concept of global security must be broadened from the traditional focus of security of states to include the security of people and the security of the planet." End quote. The majority of our leaders in the U.S. believe this, and our past four presidents believed it and stated this. It is even taught in our public schools that we are to think globally. And all these people who go around and give speeches to these intercontinental companies, I guess you would say, worldwide companies, that's the thing that they say. We're in a global market. You have to think globally now. Well, this was a plan put forth beginning before 1992, but actually the United Nations is the one who picked up the mantra in 1992 because they thought they could be that government, really. Secondly, let me read you another quote. Quote, "Regionalism must precede globalism. We foresee a seamless system of governance from local communities, individual states, regional unions, and up through to the United Nations itself." End quote. You think about that. That's the way that the world has gone, is regionalism right now. The plan in 1992 was to form regions of nations to transition into one world government. Well, it's already happened today. That's what we have with NAFTA here in the United States, Canada, Mexico. We have the African Union. We have the Gulf States. We have South America. All around the globe, you look at it, it's already in the regions, and the way these think tanks for the UN put it was, we can just transition right in from these regions once we get regions going and do away with nationalism, we can transition right into a global government. The United Kingdom, Great Britain pulling out, is in direct defiance to the UN and its global government. Need to pay close attention to the next excerpt I'm going to read from Maurice Strong and the UN report. And this is the man, let me add, for anyone who always talking about conspiracy theorists and all, it's no conspiracy theory to this. Maurice Strong is the man who authored Agenda 21. It's what the world should be like in the 21st century. He was behind that. And I'm not touching upon that today. I just thought I would add that. That's why you need to know who Maurice Strong was. Recently died last November at age 86. Okay, quote, The concept of a national sovereignty has been immutable, indeed a sacred principle of international relations. It is a principle which will yield only slowly and reluctantly to the new imperatives of global environmental cooperation. What is needed is recognition of the reality that it is simply not feasible for sovereignty to be exercised unilaterally by individual nation states, however powerful. Notice that, what he added there. That is directed toward the United States of America. Do you see now why our leaders are altering the Constitution of the United States? While someone running for president, Hillary Clinton, could openly want to do away with three or four amendments, especially the First and Second Amendments, free speech and the right to bear arms. All of our leaders are globalists. That is why David Cameron resigned. He failed to deliver the death blow to the Commonwealth. He is the one who asked for the Brexit vote. He did not believe that it would be voted down, that they would vote to leave the EU. This fourth kingdom, this one world government, has been planned and has slowly taken place. It is ripe for a worldwide economic crisis to bring it together. Let me repeat that. I said it is ripe for a worldwide economic crisis to bring it together. Now, Maurice Strong is a good example of elitist of the earth. He told his brother when they were very young that he never wanted to be poor again, and he intended to fulfill that in his lifetime. So he made money from oil. Remember, oil is bad. Remember, the elitist of the world, the oil companies are evil, and oil is bad, but yet that's what Maurice Strong was. And he also made millions from carbon credits. Remember, carbon credits? To do with saving the earth from carbon emissions. Remember, if you had too much pollution from carbon emissions, you could buy carbon credits. Say the same amount of pollution, but you must pay somebody. Well, Maurice Strong made money from this. He lived the latter part of his life and died in China. He liked China. He actually loved China. He lived in Beijing, one of the most polluted cities in the world. Air pollution, that is. You probably remember the case with the Olympics there and the athletes and people riding around wearing masks. They keep trying to solve the problem by forming wind tunnels, wind channels that will blow it away from the city. So much is being said about these mega-rich elitists since the Brexit vote. And what is the biggest worry about this to the elitist? Well, what they really worried about would happen after the Brexit vote was the crash of the markets. But the crash, what it hurts is the derivatives markets, not the market for real goods. The market for real goods was not hurt. It's only the derivatives and the stuff that brought our banking down. Let me read you how these elitist rulers look at our world governance. And this comes from Dr. Robert Mueller. He's Assistant Secretary General of the UN, Robert Mueller. He was the co-founder of UNESCO. You've seen that all around the world, the United Nations funds. Let me quote Dr. Robert Mueller. Quote, in my view, after 50 years of service in the United Nations system, I perceive the utmost urgency and absolute necessity for proper Earth government. There is no shadow of a doubt that the present political and economic systems, if systems they are no longer appropriate and will lead to the end of life evolution on this planet. We must therefore absolutely and urgently look for new ways. The less we lose time, the less species and nature will be destroyed. Since the United Nations is the only worldwide universal organization that is presently available, since it has 50 years of valuable experience and many successes since it paved the way to proper Earth government. Instead of putting it on the defensive, unjustified attacks and criticism, reduction of resources and non-payment of obligatory contributions, government should honestly ask themselves if a better way would not be considered a second-generation United Nations, upgraded by a true quantum jump into a proper Earth-preserving and human well-being and justice-ensuring organization of our planet. End quote. Did you get that? It is absolutely necessary to have a one-world government to preserve the Earth and human well-being and justice. That's what Dr. Mueller said. Well, where is God even mentioned? Where is God even mentioned in any of this stuff? It's like we humans can do it much better. Let's go to Genesis chapter 11. I guess Solomon said it best, there's nothing new under the sun, is there? Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. In a way, isn't that what Dr. Mueller just said? Verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. This is not the one world government God wanted. One world government is not for the good of the people. It's for the good of those in charge. Individualism is the path to the Lord. That's really why the people got on the ships and came to this country, was to have individualism so they could practice their faith, to get away from a government telling them what their faith would be. It's a one-on-one relationship with our Creator God. When we became one with Him, we are one with all the saints. Revelation chapter 19 again. Revelation 19, let's begin in verse 11 and cover this whole thing where I broke into it earlier. Revelation 19:11. Now I saw heaven opened, And behold, a white horse, and he who was sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And you can go back to John 1, verse 1, and read about that, who this being is. Verse 14, Jesus the Christ, the Word. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we know from this definition here who this being is. And this being is the one that's come at this point in time to crush this fourth government. Verse 17, Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. I wonder if inadvertently that the world has almost banned killing these birds of prey like this, and they have multiplied greatly all over the world. Verse 19, And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive in the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Here we have total annihilation of these kings of the world by Jesus the Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God's millennial kingdom replaces this one world government with a completely new one world government. The millennium is not to reform Satan worldly governments. There's going to be a renewing of the earth and a renewing of all things spoken of that will occur in this millennial time, this thousand year period. But one of the things won't be to reform these governments that are here. It'll be to institute a new kingdom on earth. This Christ is here. It's going to be a completely new way of living for everyone who survives. Revelation 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be the priest of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That is 1,000 years, one world government under Christ, our Lord and King. The Lord of Lords and King of Kings is going to rule here for 1,000 years and the saints with him before God the Father comes to this earth. Before. Chapter 22 and verse 6. Revelation 22 and verse 6. This is to John. He said, Then he said to me, These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Back to you, Dave.